This morning I'm speaking on these things will follow you. Thank you, choir, for all those songs. They were singing my message, and I'm grateful. These things will follow you. It's a mini series I'm doing, maybe 2-3 weeks of this theme. We all need or desire some things. True? We all need or desire some things. There is something or some things we are all wanting to accomplish. There are things we are believing God to do for us, and things His word has promised us. There are things we have been praying for and desiring. And on the other hand, God knows everything we need. God knows what we want. God knows, the Bible says He knows that you have needs of these things. And God has provided for all these things. They are already in the air. They are there. God knows how to get everything we need to us faster, better, easier, and more than we think. God can get them to us sweat-free. But the question is, what do you need to know? Who do you need to be? What do you need to do in order for these things to follow you and be added to you? Matthew chapter 22, verse 36. Matthew 22, verse 36. Monica basically did my work for me on Friday, and I'm glad we're doing it, saying it over and over again so that it will sink. I'm never afraid when something I wanted to preach is already being preached. It just means that God wants to say it twice, and so that we get it. So Matthew 22, verse 36. Please make sure you bring your Bible to church. Oh, come on. Say Matthew and I'm going to John. Matthew 22, verse 36. Teacher, which is the... Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." Praise the Lord. So it is, how do I get these things I'm needing? How do I get these things I'm believing God for? How do I accomplish what I want to accomplish? How do I get to where I want to get? Love God. Love God. Fall in love with God. Fall madly in love with God. It is to love God with all your heart, soul, and might. Love Him with all you are and all you have. That is how to get everything you need from God. And it's very simple. If a woman falls in love with a rich man, and the rich man really loves her, what does he withhold from her? And if a man falls in love with a good woman, does she refuse him sex? Does she refuse him children? Does she refuse him taking care of the house? No. And so when you love somebody, you can give them anything and they will give you everything. It's an amazing key to find that if you love God, He will take care of you. So today, I want to talk to you about really loving God as the key to a successful and a fulfilled life. I'll say that again. Loving God, really loving God as the key to a successful and a fulfilled life. The Bible says it is the first and the great commandment. Like we saw on Friday, in the TPT translation, is the supreme law. It is the supreme law. So if you want God to meet your needs, love Him. Love Him passionately. Love Him as if that is the only thing to do. I can tell you that this is the truth, because when I fell madly in love with Pastor Ina, He gave me everything. He gave me everything. He gave me all His checkbooks. He gave me this microphone to share this microphone with Him. That is what happens when you fall madly in love with somebody. It is a command that carries all the weight in the Bible. The Bible says that on this one commandment hang all the law and the prophets. So it carries all the weight and therefore has a great reward. All the law and the prophecies of all the prophets hang on this one law, because all of it is about loving and pleasing God. So all that is required of us is to align with it and fulfill it, fulfill his will and command, and to love him, then all these things will be added to us. So it is therefore safe to say that loving God is the most important duty of the child of God. In this beginning of the year, I want to direct your mind that to loving God. You know, over the years we thought that is to love one another. That is the great commandment. I still can't believe for the life of me how we skip that first part. Because the first and the great commandment is to love God. So if you love God with everything, then you will have everything you need. Amen? 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 If you see good couples, the wife does not need anything. In fact, in good relationships, the husband is trying to give the woman things. And, babe, I don't want. I used to do that with pastor. Pastor said to me, honey, why are you so simple and cheap? A man cannot even show you that he has any power. I say, honey, I don't need. Oh, yeah, let's go and buy gold. I don't want. That is what happens in a real good relationship. The man gives everything. And you know why? Because that's how God is. That's how God is. So if you want God to open his heart and his hands to you, love him. Love him. Look at Exodus chapter 20. I want to show you something there. It is the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20. There are 17 verses in Exodus chapter 20. And that was where God was giving Moses the law. Of these 17 verses of Exodus chapter 20, the first 11 verses talk about God. I was shocked as I looked at it. And God spoke all this words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a graven, a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord God, I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who take his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor to do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant or female servant, nor cattle, nor stranger, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. All of that, 11 verses, God. So on all that, and then he goes down to say, do not do this, do not honor your father and mother, do that. The rest of the 6 verses talk about man's relationship with one another. And even all of those is, you have to obey them in order to please God. So at the end of the day, it's all about God. Now it's not God, it's God. But thank you for helping me. So God is all who matters. If you get the love of God and loving God right, you will live a carefree, successful, and happy life. Amen. You got it, sister. If you get the love of God and loving God right, you will live a carefree and successful life. Loving God guarantees us fulfilled lives. As we burn with love and passion for God and keep pursuing the things that are his priority, then these things that we need will keep coming to us on their own. They will come to us on their own without us necessarily running after one man of God to the other, one prayer house to the other, waking up 7 o'clock and praying prayers that you have been praying for 2 years and nothing has happened to you. It's not in any of those things. It's in just loving God. Just loving God. Just loving God. In a good relationship where the husband and wife are happy with each other and truly love one another, there is no need for me to be praying, Father, make my husband buy me this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I claim all my belongings from Satan. I claim this. Satan, let go my glory. Satan, give me back my favor. No, there's no need. You just walk at ease because you are in love. When you are in love, God just provides. Clap at that point. Hallelujah. Loving God attracts God's goodness and favor towards you automatically. Yes. Hallelujah. I like that. Which is that group? Help me. Keep helping me. We are together this morning. The rest of them are still thinking. They are still at that political talk I gave. But we have passed that. There is nothing you cannot be. There is nothing you cannot do. There is nothing you cannot have. There is nothing you cannot achieve. No place you cannot go or height you cannot reach when you make loving God your priority. And He will do it exceeding whatever you dream of. I'm telling you the truth. There is no way I could have dreamed of the life I'm living right now. There is no Kai, no, there is no sleep deep enough to have allowed me to dream where I'm at right now. And that is what happens when, come on, what could Joseph have dreamed? What he dreamt, at the end of the day, God surpassed it. So if you love God, no matter what you have written down you want to do, God will pass it. Come on. God will exceed it. So you want to prosper and have all you desire? Then love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your might. Romans chapter 8 verse 28 says, Sarah Jagaba Omaku knows that all things work together for good to those who do what? So all things will not work together for everybody sitting in this room right now. It will only work together for good for those who love God, who are concerned and are concerned about His purpose. So if you're concerned about God's purpose, all things will work together for good for you, and they will exceed your plan. They will exceed your vision. They will exceed your desire. God is fixing to exceed everything you have ever thought or imagined in your life. Somebody shout, amen. Amen. So the number one thing that must happen in your life as a child of God this year is to develop an unquestionable, daily burning love for God. I say that again. You must develop an unquestionable, daily burning love for God. And when somebody is in love, it cannot be hidden. It is evident. It's evident. Have you ever seen a woman in love? Her eye is just shining. She is smiling, nothing faced, and no matter what is going on, she just be laughing. Oh, somebody is sick, sorry. God be with you. Because she's in love. Oh, something, but she doesn't care. Food can burn, house can burn. She will be on the telephone talking because what? She's in love. And that is the kind of love we must be with God. You see, it's not this forceful love that we are forcing you to come to church. We are forcing you to give tithes. We are forcing you to pray. No. It's just doing it because there is no other option. And it is by choice and joy. We do it delightfully. We do it with grace and we do it with laughter. Come on, somebody. It's loving God excitedly. Loving him with laughter and happiness and sweetness in your heart. Any day, just when I say Cairo, I just smile. That's my grandson. When I see him, I smile. Once in a while, he enters the room and does stuff. In fact, last week, he entered, scattered my water. I just enjoyed looking, scattered, building what he will. There is one little fridge in my room. It doesn't have much. And Cairo knows everything that is inside, but every day he comes, he has to offload everything and then put it back and scatter it. And it gives me delight. I just watch him and laugh. The boy cannot do me wrong. When I see him, I just smile. That is love. Bad only a chicken. No force. No instruction. The kind of love that you just love God. You rather love God than even drink water or breathe. That if it comes between breathing and loving God, you will choose God, knowing that He will fix the breathing for you. I know I'm preaching right good, even if your face is still at the political place. I have passed. When Abraham loved God, it showed. It was evident. And everything God promised him came to pass. There is no how Abraham would have imagined what has happened to him. Do you know that up until today, the covenant of Abraham is going on? Jews, Christians, and Muslims, all of us are claiming Abraham as our father. And so God told him that they will not be able to count his children like the sand. They keep saying we are 7 billion. Where did they count it? Did they come to Africa to count? They just keep assuming. Nobody can count the children of Abraham. It's impossible to know how many human beings are on the earth. It's not possible because it's a covenant God enacted with Abraham. Why? Because Abraham loved God. Somebody clap unto the Lord. First Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man. What? Everybody read what? No, the things that God has prepared for born again Christians. The things that God has prepared for churchgoers. The things that God has prepared for those who profess to know Him. For who? See, I'm going to make it impossible for you not to love God. You have to love God. For your own good. Not for my good, for your own good. But if it is good for you, it will be good for me. Hallelujah. And so eyes have not seen, ears have, no matter what God promised Abraham, he could not see it. Say, as far as you could see. Abraham couldn't see as far as to Wuye, Abuja. But the covenant came to Wuye. It came to your village. It came into your bedroom. The covenant has hit even the littlest child you are holding. So no matter what you can think or imagine, God's love over you and the things He's planning for you are far beyond that. Somebody say hallelujah. Only for those who. So like, let me repeat again. No matter what you have, no matter what you have achieved, no matter where you have reached and gone, God still has more in store. There is still more. There is still more. If you love God, you have not seen anything yet. More is coming. More is coming. Look at David, for instance, a lover of God. A lover of God. And God made him a national hero as a teenager. I just read something in the news yesterday about a boy who is 18 years old in Arkansas who has become the mayor of Arkansas in the United States of America. A little black boy. That I'm sure if you go, there are those ones that cramp into a little church. You see them on TikTok dancing. They are loving God and dancing with all their heart, and they have to be holding them and all. Because once in a while, you just get drunk with the love. Somebody has to hold you. That there is no limit, and you don't have to be old before God exposes you to everything. That at the age of 19 or 17 or 18, God made David a hero, and because he fought Goliath. So if you love God, where you are now, God will do you something that will blow your mind. Amen. And that's why I love that song, "You Do Mind-Blowing Things, Oh God." Hallelujah. Amen. He made David a national hero as a teenager. Because as a teenager, David was working, doing his father's work, but he also had a string instrument that he was using to just worship God and form all those psalms. You can't sing to God every day. You can't worship God every day. You can't be about God's business and loving Him. And you'll be broke, you'll be sick, you'll be tired. No, God is not like that. He does not pay like that. Amen? God loved David, and David loved God. Look at David's passion for the name of God. How dare you defy the name of God and the armies of Israel? Today, I'm going to take off your head. It's a small boy, it's a teenager. But he loved God with his everything, with his life. He was willing to sacrifice his life to defend the name of his God. Hallelujah. He was willing to give his life because it was a risk to go and face Goliath. But for the name of his God, he said, I will do it. If I perish, I perish. Hallelujah. So people who love God, throw caution to the wind. They throw caution to the wind in expression and expressing their love for God. And God, you know, at what David gave, he received as a harvest. Because one day, two men decided to put their lives at risk to go and get him water from a well that he just desired. He just desired, oh, how I wish I could drink water from that well in Jerusalem. They say, is that what you want? They risked their lives that day and went and brought the water. David looked at that water and saw that that water was not water, it was blood. He poured it down for the Lord. That whatever you give God, you cannot outgive God. He will give you more. He will give you more. He will make people run over themselves, risk their lives to bless you. Risk their lives to make things happen for you. People will do things for you don't even imagine. Things you just think about. Hallelujah. You know, I want to talk to some of you. All these prayers, screaming, my enemies must let me go. Somebody stole my favor. Give it back to me. Lord, make my star shine. I must wear my crown. It's foolishness. It's nonsense. It's not necessary. Stand before my husband and say, I must eat my food. I must have my... No, my husband literally begged me. My husband used to literally beg me to give to me. If I told my husband I needed 10 naira, I said, honey, the whole of you is only 10 naira. He said, no, you need 1,000. Take it. I said, no, honey, I don't want. So all this begging prayer, you'll be praying. They have prayer books. My territory, you who have taken my this, you have taken. What were you doing when they were taking all these things? Why did you let them take all these things? Me, I don't pray. Nobody takes anything from me. Give me back my glory. Give me, no, your glory. If God has given you something, it doesn't go away. Except when you stop loving God. And when you stop loving God, it is not God who takes it. It is the devil who takes it away from you. Amen? Yeah, clap. Don't threaten. Clap. Clap unto the Lord. Just love God. And your favor will stay there. Your shine will be there, your star will be there, and your crown will always be on your head. Let's come and pray the prayer that I must wear my crown. There's no force. If you have the crown, there's no need to be saying I must wear it. You're already wearing it. You wear the glory of God. You wear the beauty of God. So no need to be claiming it or going to prayer houses. Say, I don't know why my body has been, I've prayed everything and all. No, you may just be eating something wrong, or you just haven't been praying, or you have just left God. And you see, you don't know anything. When you leave God small, things begin to happen to you. You know, when you disobey your husband or you disobey authority, things will just begin to go chaka-chaka for you. So some of these things are no-brainers. It's not God disturbing you, it's you worrying yourself. And I'll show you from Scripture. Seek first the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26. Proverbs 23, 26. My son, read the rest. What is in a man's heart? Love. So you can say, my son, give me your love. And let your eyes observe my ways. Observe to see what I'm doing. If you give me your heart, just observe. Things will just be falling in place for you. So you don't need to stress yourself. Just give God your heart, observe his ways, and things will continually just follow you. I'm telling you the truth. God bears me witness. I don't pray for myself. I don't pray for anything. I don't pray for anything. My last 60th birthday, all I was praying for, Father, please just let these churches be built. And we prayed and fasted like we were going out of business. And in the way God answers me, how does a family wake up and they write you a check? They send you an alert of 660,000 every day for 31 days. How does that happen? Can you calculate it? Can you imagine that kind of thing? It's unimaginable. Every day, like clockwork. Around 11, between 11 and 1. So at a point, I started waiting to see it. Or when I sleep off in the morning, I pick my phone, I see it has entered 660,000 every day for 31 days. Can you dream that? Can you imagine that? You'll be a thief if you dream that and imagine it. But if you love God, he will make it happen to you. I'm telling you, how does that happen? Where does that kind of idea come from? It comes only from God. I give a certain amount of offering every Sunday. I just tasked myself. And by this today, I was in a crisis. And God bears me witness. I just thought, you know what? It would be good for somebody to just send me a lot. Because I was running short on that amount. And yesterday, I just see my phone. Somebody say, Pastor, please send me an account. I want to send you something, a seed. I say, really? Thank you very much. I send it, and the man sends me the exact amount I wanted to drop in the offering today. Exact, to the penny, to the penny. You just need to love God. I'm not kidding. And I'm not lying to you. I won't lie to you. It's the truth. That if you love God, things will just come to you. Things you don't even need. Things you don't even pray for. People will call you. Because the Bible says the Father knows that you have need of those things. The Father knows. So just love Him. My son, give me your heart. If God says give me your heart, won't you just relax? If I say, Monica, give me your heart, what will you do? Say, Pastor, take it. Because Monica knows what will follow. Monica knows what will follow. And that is me, a human being, whom the Bible says I'm evil. I know that I give good gifts. How much more God? Amen? Amen. Your Heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. Today, I challenge you by the mercies of God to say an eternal, unquestionable yes to God and no to yourself. Say an eternal no to the flesh. It is the flesh that says, you know what? You can't pray this morning, you are tired. Say no to it. You can't go to church, you are tired. Say no to it. You can't pray and fast. Say no to it. Why? Because you have engaged yourself in a covenant of love with God. You have decided to love Him. And these are the kinds of things God wants. He wants you to have an altar in your house where every day you talk to Him and He talks to you. Every day, every day, every day. He wants you to wake up with Him on your mind and to sleep with Him at night on your mind. During the day, all that occupies your mind is Him. Your mind full of Him. Your mind is full of Him every day. And then these things will follow you. Is that not what the Bible says? One of the greatest enemies of your life, it's not your village people, though. Your village people, all they are looking for is just enough to buy garri and cook one little food and eat and sleep. They don't even know you. Your village people really don't know you. They say, no, you don't know my village people. They have a track record. They have CID that follow me. They are not omnipotent, omnipresent. Only God is omnipresent. Not even the devil is omnipresent. It's not the devil. Your greatest enemy is yourself. Your greatest enemy is yourself. If you can kill yourself, you are fine. Because it is yourself that makes you not come for prayer meeting. It is yourself that cheats on tithes. It's flesh. It's self. It is yourself that disobeys the word of God, that refuses to submit to your husband. It's your flesh. And it's your flesh that makes you not to show your wife, to show your wife that you are the head. It's your flesh. It's your flesh. And so your greatest enemy is you. It is yourself that is nasty to your wife. And when you are nasty to your wife, you are nasty to God. You are not in love with God. And like I said last week, you are at your best when you are loving God, when you are submitting to God, when you are doing the things He tells you to do. And when you do that, things will just follow you. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. Hold that verse and let me say something about Joseph. You see, Joseph loved God, but there was still a part of him that had not been yielded to God. Because God wants all of your heart. Although Joseph loved God, there was still self in him. When he interpreted those dreams to the butler and the whatever, and he said, when you go out, remember me. God said, hey, is it about you? He didn't say, remember God, or that made this interpretation to do me to you. He said, please remember me and speak to the king about me. God said, I am the one that makes people to remember people. So these people will forget you. They forgot him for 2 years. Your greatest enemy is you, is your pride. And God hates pride. Okay, so you cannot be prideful and love God. I wish, maybe one day I'll preach on pride. You cannot be a proud person and love God. And a proud person is somebody that is easily offended and irritated. That's a proud person. You say, no, pastor, I just have a hot temper. No, it's not hot temper. You are just a proud person. And God is against you. The Bible says God resists the proud. God loves the humble, the people who give God all the glory. The people who ascribe it all to God. So one of the things you must do is kill the flesh. You see, and I'll keep, you know the wrestler who keep beating that one leg until the leg is paralyzed. I'll say, see, you can't say you love God and not come to church. You cannot fast. He said, if you pray, when you pray, when you give, when you fast. And so we're in the season of fasting. You're not fasting and you say, I love God. You're a liar. No. That's why the Bible says truly, many are called, but few are chosen. There are a few that follow every comma, every full stop, every iota of God's word. You say you are a child of God and you love God, but you don't come for prayer meeting. No, it's not that kind of love I'm talking about. I'm talking about passionate, hot love that follows God everywhere God goes. And Jesus was always in the temple. So God is always in the temple. When the temple opens, Jesus is there, was there. Get rid of the world. The Bible says anybody who loves the world has set himself as an enemy of God. Kai, you love the world's way, the world system, you are an enemy of God. Hate yourself. Okay, so put up for me Luke chapter 14, verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, did you hear that? It's a strong word, hate. Hate. And does not hate his father, hate his mother, hate his wife and children and brothers and sisters. Yes, and his own life also. He cannot be my disciple. God is truly a jealous lover. A lover that will tell you, hate your mother. That's dangerous, isn't it? But if you are going to really, really love God, you are going to hate everybody and even hate yourself. And follow him on his terms. Then you can be his disciples. And then he will give you all these things. You know, we keep saying, seek first the kingdom of God. And you don't know what the kingdom of God is. So I'm defining it to you. I'm saying that it must be all about God. Morning, noon, and afternoon. And doing what the Bible says. The Bible says, be in church, you are in church. The Bible says, forgive, you forgive. The Bible says, love your wife, you love your wife. The Bible says, submit to your husband, you submit to your husband. The Bible says, give your tithe, you give all the tithe, not half. Don't say that the freeze and the internet say we should no longer give. No, that is not what God said. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says, give your tithe, you give your tithe. The Bible says, don't go work late to work, you don't go late to work. The Bible says, don't be sluggish or slothful, you are not slothful. Then that is the love of God, obeying God completely on his terms. Then you will ask for any and everything and God will give it to you. Somebody say amen. Amen. He said yes, and even your own self. I fight myself every day. Some days, even on Sunday, I don't want to come to church. Every day you see me coming to church, I struggle to come. Because a point comes when you say, pastor, you've been doing this for 30 years. Let the young people do. But you say, no, I'm the mother. I'm going to just go and sit there, even if I'm not doing anything that day. And because Jesus will just sit and watch anyway. So even those of us that you see come to church every day, it's not because we don't want to sit and watch the television programs you're watching, or we don't want to do what you're doing. We want to, but we have chosen something greater than ourselves. It is more than us, that we are not in this life about us. We are in this life about God. And so we have refused to reward self. Thank you, brother. God wants all or nothing. God is too much for your half and half. For your hop, step, and jump. Or convenience. No, God is too much for that. There are some of us that just follow. And these days, Jesus' example and a life example I'm looking at is Bishop Oedipo. He will tell you he can count on his 10 fingers the times he has not been to church in the last 50 years of his life. He said, what will he stay at home and be doing? In any nation he goes, he has to be in church. And I am bold to say that I believe Bishop Oedipo has more money and ministry and I mean in assets and whatever than the government of Nigeria. I'm not kidding. Look at churches all over. Name any country, there is living faith there. That is wealth. That is people. That is the level of the blessing of Abraham. Why? Because he will tell you, my wife knows I love her. My children know, but they know also that I love Jesus more than them. In fact, I love Jesus more than myself. You will hear him say. And that is what I want to be. I want to so love Jesus like that. I want to so love Jesus like that. Hallelujah. Deny all. God wants all or nothing. It is to love him with your all. See the emphasis. Love him with all your heart, all your soul. The emphasis on the word all. John chapter 5 verse 30b amplified. John chapter 5 verse 30b, talking about Jesus. Because I do not seek or consult my own will. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself, my own aim, my own purpose, but only the will and the pleasure of my Father who sent me. That is loving God, isn't it? I pray this year that you will be a lover of God. I pray that your love for God will increase. I pray that you will wake up and be an ardent, heart-burning, unquestionable lover of God. Amen. That is a very weak amen. I pray that this year you will turn to a mediocre, half and half Christian, to a full-blown, hot, red, blood-burning, passionate, loving child of God. So that everything will work out together for you. Amen. Somebody say better amen.
Amen.
I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself. I have no desire to please myself. I have no desire to please my flesh. I have no desire to do what is pleasing to myself. I have no desire to do my aim or my purpose, but only, everybody say only, the will and pleasure of God. Amen. Be full of God's purpose in your heart. Be all out about God. Please him above all. Enter into a covenant to give God the first place of your life. And as you do that, God enters a covenant of meeting your needs according to his riches in glory. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 6 to 8, but what things were gained to me, this I have counted loss for Christ. Yes, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. And like Paul and Jesus and Abraham, I challenge you this morning to be spiritually, emotionally, physically inseparable from God. Give him yourself, give him your will, give him your intellect, your resources, give him your time, give him your life. Raise an altar in your house, a place where you meet God daily to express your love to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. Now there abides faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest is love and the love for God. Quickly, let me share some benefits of loving God. When you love God, he will love you back, and you will see supernatural happenings in your life. Like yesterday for me, that was supernatural. I just think it and I get the exact offering I wanted to give today. In the exact, to the penny. So when you love God, he will give you back and you see supernatural happenings in your life. Things you know can only happen because of God. Great things, mind-blowing things. When you love God, he will answer your prayer. Say amen. When you love God, you will see revelations in His Word. You will see things other people don't see. The people who don't come to church, the people who don't read their Bible, they say the Bible is so difficult. But for some of us, we read the Bible over and over, and we know every story. We are just getting new revelations. We are just getting new revelations. Because you can never finish knowing God. Just like you can never finish knowing your husband or finish knowing your wife. There is something yet you have not touched in your wife's body or in your wife's mind, in her spirit, that if you touch, you will see another aspect of. The same thing about a husband. Something you have not yet done. Some food you have not yet cooked. That when you cook, it will shock you to see the reaction of your husband. There is something about God that you don't know. And when you love God, you will begin to see it in Scripture. Somebody say amen. Amen. The Bible will open to you and you will have a sound mind and things will be clear. You will have a sound mind and clear purpose. Amen. When you love God, your faith will be strong because you know Him so much to trust Him always like Abraham trusted Him. When you love God, He makes serving Him easier. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Hallelujah. Which means that those who are not serving God yet, your love is not yet full. When people are in love, they serve each other. Loving God makes you wise. The more we love God, the more anointed and powerful we become, because power will be made available to us. Loving God will bring you riches, prosperity, beauty, glory, blessings, honor. All these things are happening to me. I'll say it again. Loving God will bring riches, prosperity, beauty, glory, blessings, honor, and wealth to you. You will become a wonder to people. Until people wonder about you, you never reach. When they look at you and say, how? 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 Your classmates look at you and say, how? Not be the same class we go. Not be the same. Somebody must look at you and say, how? Explain to me. How you come from? How are you this way? What happened? What are you doing that I'm not doing? You say, I'm just loving God. I'm just loving God. Stand up and clap unto the Lord. Hallelujah. When you love God, you will never fail. Because love never fails. You will keep moving from glory to glory. Hallelujah. This year, you will move from glory to glory. Can I advise somebody that your glory this year, somebody is just start coming to church. And you'll see what will happen to you. Just start coming to church. It is in the presence of God that we have everything. When you sit at home, glory is reducing from you. There is a demarcation between those of us that come to church every day and those of you who don't come. We are different from you. I'm not kidding. Our minds are clearer than yours. We have more confidence than you. We know God better than you. Because it is in the house of God we talk about God. Imagine the person who didn't come to church today. They didn't hear what you have heard. So automatically you are ahead of them. And that is why you must keep coming to church. Amen. Amen. Clap unto the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Say this year. This year. 2023. I will love God with my heart. My whole heart. My whole heart. My whole heart. I will love God with my mind. I will think God. I will meditate on God. This year, my mind will be full of God. I will be mindful of God. This year, I will serve God. I will love God with my might, with my body. I yield my body to the love of God. I yield my body to the love of God. I yield my body to the love of God. My eyes loves God. My mouth loves God. These legs comes to the house of God all the time. All the time. I am like Jesus. I am like Paul. I'm like David. I'm like Abraham. I stand strong in the love of God. I am a lover of God. I am a lover of God. Like Abraham, I am a lover of God. Like Abraham, I am a lover of God. Like Abraham, I am a lover of God. And like Jesus, my aim, My purpose, my pleasure is to do the will of God. I am a friend of God. You know, the first place all of this starts is in your heart, is in accepting Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your life. And for some of you, you have backslided. You need to make things right with God. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. You will be nothing. You will try. The Bible says you gather, he will blow it and scatter. Why? Because he put you here to love him. Put your hand on your chest. Say, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. I surrender my life to you. I yield to you. Come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sins. Forgive me of all my wrongdoings. Today, I give you my life. I give you my heart. I give you my mind. I give you everything. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Father, write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. As from today, I will follow you. I will come to church. I will be in church. I will love you like I have heard today. Take control of everything about me in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everybody who has prayed that prayer for the very first time today. Lord, that you answer them, that you write their names, that their sins be forgiven. I break the power of sin over their lives. I break the power of sickness over them. I break the law of sin and death over them. That pronouncement I break in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I declare that they are free. Lord, all of us this year will go from glory to glory, from strength to strength. God, that we will make loving you our priority. This week, we will make loving you our priority. Father, there are so many of them that are not fasting, so many of them that are not going to church. All I can do is tell them your counsel, but it is you who will work in their hearts. Please convince them of these truths. Convince them to come to church on Friday, to come to church, to go to care group, and to participate in this prayer and fasting. Please help them. Lord, that there will not be a weak or feeble person among us. In the name of Jesus. Father, as they go into the week and start their businesses and work this year, I ask that your blessing will be upon them. May the Lord be with you. May the Lord shine his face upon you. May his countenance be for good over you. In the name of Jesus. As you work hard, may you see the reward of your labor. In the name of Jesus. And as you speak to people about Jesus, may they hear you. And may they respond positively in the name of Jesus. I bless your going out and your coming in. I bless your families. I bless your work. I bless your mind. You will prosper this year. These things will follow you as you follow God in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Amen. Prayer and fasting, 4 o'clock today. You will meet in all your groups. Okay, so listen to me. I will let you go now. One of the things we decided to do by letting you pray at home is to help your children and everybody around you to pray as a family and to start knowing God like that. So it's not a time to go home now and eat. It's prayer and fasting season. Go and listen to the message again and pray and read a book and go out and bless somebody. As if church has finished, some of you go back and sleep a little. Wake up and go and tell somebody about Jesus. It will shock you how your life will become. Every Sunday, go out there and try to talk to one person. It will amaze you, the blessing. Because as we'll find out, that is the major point at which God knows you love him, when you tell somebody about him. So be in your houses at 4 o'clock today. We will pray together and then we'll break our fast after that. May the Lord be with you. Have a wonderful day, and I love you.